This is like a little tiny reservoir of water. And anything that comes in creates commotion and turmoil. The great devotee, Parambrista Nivartate, Vishayava Nivartante, Nirahara Sidehina Rasadhan Visopya Svapani. Because his consciousness is merged into the ocean of Krishna's beauty, Krishna's qualities. When these lesser, when his desires and thoughts come into our mind by the influence of this material energy, they cannot affect, they just turn away from it.
Transcend, when
pure devotee
transcends,
telling
about the three modes of material nature.
Even
after transcending three modes of material nature,
it
is affected. Or he
doesn't transcend in this world. No, he transcends, but transcends means he's not affected. It doesn't mean he doesn't experience those things. They are coming. But like the ocean. The ocean transcends the rivers because it's so full, it just doesn't care for them. And he still sees them. Still witnesses them, but he doesn't care for them. Because he's Parandrasvani Vartate. Because he's tasting something so much greater. He just doesn't care for these things. Prabhupada used the example that hog is eating stool. If you eat nice halava, you don't care for stool anymore. Right? And if you've never tasted halava, you think stool is all there is. These things may be there, and you see them, and you witness them, but you don't care for them. You neglect them.
And in the spiritual world, the thoughts will come like this.
In the spiritual world, there's nothing that will induce those thoughts. In the material world, everything is there to induce the thoughts, but because we're so much fixed in Krishna, that these thoughts simply, we transcend, which means we are not affected by them. We can easily, we are above them. But they're there. But in the spiritual world, there is nothing to induce such thoughts. Everything is Krishna. Everything and everyone around is simply Krishna. Simply inducing us to give Krishna pleasure.
So is it something like a man?
There's different levels of pure devotees too. There's different levels of pure devotees.
So is it something like a man sitting on the street and watching life going by? He's not affected, he's just coming and going. Similarly, thoughts he's observing as if he's an external person. Thoughts come and go, but he's not disturbed by them. Is it something like that?
That's more like a jnani. He's trying to be like that. A devotee is just so busy engaged in Krishna's devotional service, so busy tasting the sweetness of his name, that when these thoughts come, he just doesn't have time for them. He has no attraction for them. Yes, he sees them go by, but he's not just sitting on the side of the road just watching the thoughts. He's busy. The thoughts are coming by, and obviously he notices them. But he's too busy, he's too much absorbed in the higher taste of bhakti. And these thoughts, although they're coming, he's not just sitting watching them. But they're coming, no matter. He just doesn't care for them. It's like Haridas Thakur, when he was sitting in his bhajan kutir, Venapol, and then that prostitute came. She was exposing the private parts of her body in such a way to seduce him. But what was he doing? Obviously, the thought came to his mind. How could it not? It's right in front of what your senses provoke thoughts, right? And he was so much immersed in tasting the infinite bliss of Krishna's name. He saw it. He didn't care for it. He didn't have any attraction for it. He was too busy with Krishna. He was so much immersed in the divine beauty of Krishna that this lump of flesh and blood, although it was there, she just neglected it.
Well, first the thought comes, means first the objective layer of the thought first comes. So if you see something, then only the desire comes, or first the desire comes.
Everything is based on our desire. But Maya provokes these desires in the objects of the senses. And unless the idle mind is the devil's workshop, unless our mind is fully engaged in higher activities of Krishna consciousness, then we will definitely even Vishwamitra Muni. Vishwamitra Muni was sitting on the side of the road watching the thoughts go by. But because he didn't have a higher occupation, when Menaka came walking down the road, he was not able to control himself. Right? So this is the impersonal school, and the yogic school is like this, just sitting and watching them go by and just neglecting them, just not giving in to them no matter what. But ultimately, you can't keep doing that because the soul is looking for pleasure and in the ignition. Therefore, if we fix our mind in Param Dhrisvati by to take a higher taste, Haridas Thakur, chanting Krishna's name. Guru Goswami said, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna produce. So conquer my mind, conquer my senses. And when the sense objects come into our life, we see them, we know, we recognize them, but we don't care for them.
Person might be a pure devotee, and he ascertains he might be a pure devotee, but how he will be in the same consciousness? Because sometimes it's also because that due to something goes wrong or something or the other, he will be able to be a pure devotee for the whole spectrum, or that could be something or the other can go wrong. It can also.
Is this wrong? Even if something does go wrong. Supram Bhavati Dharamatma Shastra Shanti Nagashati Kanti Yadavati Jani Himalaya Bhakti. Krishna will immediately pick him up and put him back in his position because of his sincere desire to serve him.
How we can discriminate the fall down of this power? Pure devotee never falls down. Sometimes Krishna says if somebody is engaged, they still are considered himself. But even new point devotee falls down, then how can we discriminate that this fall down is a pure devotee and this is new?
It takes one to know one. Unless you're a pure devotee, you can't really know who a pure devotee is. But by the words, by the activities, by the endeavor, by the humility, you can have a good understanding of who to follow, who to take example. Pure devotees should not fall down. What I'm saying here is, a pure devotee never falls down in that sense, because he's always protected by Krishna. But in this material world, it's such a dangerous place that even a pure devotee has independence, even if he does slip, Krishna will immediately pick him up and bring him back to the higher position. Pure devotees in the highest order, they cannot.
We were reading teachings of Lord Chaitanya. We were reading a section where Lord Chaitanya is describing the different stages of attaining love of God. And he mentions Thaiba. He finds there is a stage beyond which there can be no more fall down. But all stages below that, even up to Bhava Bhakti or something, can fall down. But once it's Thaiba, So pure devotee also like in very various levels. Beyond a certain level, once he is reached, but we don't know whether he reached Thai Baba or not, so we cannot comment, right? It is not for us to judge who is beyond a certain stage and who is what. We cannot understand.
If someone is properly situated, repeating the words of Parampara, and really living in that pure devotional spirit, complete surrender and sacrifice, that we can see. That we can witness through our ears and through our eyes. But exactly what that person's bhava is, or what his level of rasa is, we cannot understand. That is why our parampara is more concerned with the principles of surrender to the previous guru and the principles of these than just like someone was telling me that someone had dreamed of Radharani initiated and they became pure bhaktis. These things, I mean, it's just a matter of taking someone's word for it. How can we understand these things? Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. Therefore, our parampara has not concerned itself at all with these types of evaluations of mental routines. We can judge, we have the power to judge that this person surrendering to the Guru Parampara, and this person is completely by his activities and words fixed in Krishna consciousness, fixed in devotional service, fixed in the holy name, fixed in Krishna, always talking about Krishna, always inspiring others to talk about Krishna, always engaging the senses in devotional activities. See a person's empowerment. These things we can see, we can judge, we can understand. But honestly, do you have the power to understand beyond that? Can you be honest?
No, we don't.
It's based on faith. But if our faith is situated on this foundation, these basic principles of what we can understand, then our faith is properly situated, and that faith can take us back to God.
Even from bhava bhakti stage, we can fall down from very high stages.
Bharat Maharaj.
Yeah, was in bhava.
He was in bhava. But he fell down to material attachment. He was weeping. He was crying in ecstatic love. Wasn't he? You've read the Bhagavad Gita? Still Maya Tricky. Right? You know the story part? What does it say about it? Were you on that level when he was sitting on the Gandaki River and he was just meditating on Krishna and he was weeping and his hairs were standing on end and his body was trembling? It was ecstatic transformations. And he wasn't just show about it, trying to make disciples. He was there. He was really in the internal bhava, love of God. But even under that situation, it's like what I was saying. The objects of the senses came. They were so powerful. And he got attached to that little baby deer. And by that attachment, he literally gave up his devotional service. Krishna says, Chitram Bhavati Dharamatma Shashvash Chanti Nagachitipu Pantala Prabhujana Namaya Bhakta Parishan. Because he's my devotee, because he surrendered to me, I will lift him up. I will bring him back to his righteous pure state. Krishna put him in the body of a deer. Then he put him in the body of Jad Bharat. And he brought him back to his pure devotional state. So he was under the protection of Krishna, even though he fell down. It was temporary. So how can we criticize Bharat Maharaj? Even though, yes, he fell down because he was somehow or other, even in that stage of bhava, he was allured by that little deer. whether it's a deer or whether it's Menaka, it's the same principle, isn't it? Material attachment. And Krishna was right there by his side because of his surrender. He will protect him. The devotee will never be vanquished by the way. He will protect him. He's rightly situated. But Haridas Thakur, he was far beyond that state of Maharaj Parash. He was really, truly on the highest levels. Even Maya herself personally manifested, personified before him as the most beautiful creature ever seen. To try to get to seduce him. Ultimately, because he was so fixed in the holy name, she became his disciple. Maya asked Haridas for initiation.
Like, now we are engaged in devotional service. But in due course of time, somebody is like our own god brother. He becomes more advanced, he becomes more empowered by Krishna, he can preach more. And we become envious, even though we are engaged in devotional service. Is it kind of a fall down? It's like in the case of Prabhupada also, many of his god brothers, they were gurus, but we can't say that they were envious, but it's Prabhupada, so is it kind of
yes, it is a fall down. But in one sense, just like what we are discussing, this is like the rivers coming in, the rivers of envy. The fall down is not that we feel envious. The fall down is we act envious. It's like if you think of sex life, is that a fall down? And if you act for it, it's a fall down. Huh? If you think of going to the cinema, is that a fall down? Or if you go, it's a fall down. Huh? And similarly, envy? Is just it's within the energy of this in Kali Yuga. These influences are everywhere. Lust, envy, anger, pride, greed. And they're gonna attack you. And the more advanced we are, the less we're affected by them. It's a fall down when we allow that envy to control our mind and act according to envy's dictations. When we criticize that person, when we behave envious toward that person, it's not. If we feel envious and we understand what's happening, and we take shelter of Krishna, take shelter of his name, and try to restrain and try to purify ourselves, that's not a problem. It's part of the process of making advancement to Krishna consciousness.
Well, most of the time we just not feel envious, we act also.
Huh?
Most of the time, it is just that we don't feel it, we just act upon it. So like some of the Prabhupada God brothers, they criticize Prabhupada.
How can you say we don't feel it?
Even we feel, but we don't stop there, we just act upon it.
We cannot say they have fallen down from their devotional service. But they are definitely falling down from pleasing Krishna to that extent. And what their motive is, we do not know. They may say things, but what is their motive? We do not know. Maybe some lila. Just to further glorify Prabhupada. The fact that he would remain so fixed and so pure without the support, glorifies him more. Correct? So we should not judge them, because Prabhupada told us not to judge them. But at the same time, Prabhupada explained the principle that tendency is very strong in us to be envious of those who are. That is a material quality. And those material qualities are all around us. The question is, are we going to welcome it into our heart? or we could have shut the door and say, get out. Vishwamitramuni opened the door and asked the door of his heart to say, Menaka, please come in. But Haridas Thakur kept all the doors and windows locked. He was just in there chanting Hare Krishna. Right? So in the same way, lust, anger, pride, envy, they are going to come into your heart. They're everywhere. No matter who you are, no matter how advanced you are. How do you respond to it? That is the question. We should be so busy serving the Vaishnavas, so busy trying to be a humble servant, we don't have time to be envious of anyone else. If we're actually really sincere, if someone's doing well, we should think, oh, this is another devotee I can be a humble servant of. Wonderful. But when we criticize, when we try to behave on that platform, and that is a subtle thought. Krishna will deal with us accordingly.
I was reading someone Prabhupada's book that even Bilvamangal Thakur was in bhava state of his life. And then with this kind of activities, it's very difficult to judge what kind of.
But then what happened right after?
Yeah, in a moment it just changed. So you can tell also by how quickly a person gives up sense gratification. That in the earlier life he was more advanced.
You see, even very, very advanced devotees, they still have the conditionings of their past. Even in a very advanced state. And sometimes, apiche sutarachara, sometimes that the power of Maya just catches you. I mean, what was Bharat Maharaj's weakness? His weakness was actually based on compassion. And he just his nature as a pure devotee was he was so compassionate that he couldn't tolerate seeing this deer suffering. This little baby deer. But Maya is so powerful that she'll even try to get you on the basis of your best qualities. Huh? And he showed compassion. And what was Maya's trick? Although he was showing compassion, there was absolutely no one else to take care of. He would have to either let that little baby deer die, or he would have to take care of himself. Right? And he couldn't tolerate letting the baby deer die. So he took care. But in order to take care, he had to give up all his spiritual practices. He couldn't do both. So his compassion was his weakness. In that sense. But because it was based on that good motive, it was not based, it was obviously a previous condition. He was a king, he was kind-hearted, he was always trying to help his citizens, he was willing to give his life for anyone, right? But because it was well-situated, from that experience, he was quickly brought to a much higher level than he ever was before. Right? Through learning from that experience, he completely transcended, as Judd Bharat. There was just no question of him falling down for anything, right? But it was because of his remembrance of his two previous births that he was on that level. Krishna put him on that level.
As far as our movement is concerned, it's a preaching movement, you see. I mean, preaching, unless until we don't have a compassionate attitude, we cannot go ahead. So, how to keep the angle altogether? That this is the only angle I can have a compassionate attitude. If I pass this angle, Maya can attack me altogether. So how to keep that angle? This is the only angle I have to have a compassionate attitude. From us, especially when we come in front of the Mataji's. And we have to, what is the angle?
We have to be very careful. We have to have very strict sadhana. And we should not be bewildered by Maya. Maya's bewilderment is just like Bharat Maharaj. There's so much to learn from that story. And that story is there for us to learn from. That's why it's in the Bhagavatam. But in the name of compassion, we have to understand where is our limitations and how we must behave under our circumstances. And for that reason, we need the association of devotees. See, Bharat Maharaj was alone. He had no satsang with other advanced devotees to inquire. So a devotee, even on that level, without the association of senior Vaishnavas, is in a very dangerous situation. But on whatever level we're on, if we're in the association of good devotees, and we're always humble, and we're always inquiring, their guidance and their blessings will protect us. But their guidance is that we have to be very strict, and we have to be very pure, and we have to be very high principles.
Hello? Hare Krishna. No, not yet. I'm sitting with Maharaj and some
of the society of Vaishnavas, they will easily, especially brahmacharis, they will easily tell you, this is all nonsense. What are you doing? If it's just you and them,
okay,
then you will become bewildered.
All right.
Correct?
All right.
Huh? So we have to be sincere, we have to be very strict. What is that verse? Nanvadmi pramanam. What is that? Nanvami Pramana Nama Grita Kumba Samapti Sutam Apira Hojaya Anyadaya Vadarta. Man is like pot of butter and woman is like fire. If you put the two together for any length of time, no matter how solid the butter is, it will melt. Haridas Thakur, for those 3 nights, he was with the prostitute. He didn't stay with her. He told her, you take my cab and I'm getting out of here. Right? As an example for all of us. That is the principle of nature. Man is like butter, woman is like fire. If you stay too close, it's going to melt. No matter who you are. Therefore, we have to understand how associate. You have a wife, you have to, according to the Grihastha Ashram, you have to understand how to associate with wife. How to keep Krishna in the center, how to follow the regulative principles of Grihastha, how to have sadhana together, how to have good association with sadhana. You have to understand, or sannyasi.
Hello, can I speak to Mr. Rishikesh from that
part? How to show compassion
according
to the principles of Krishna consciousness. To strictly know the limitations of our ashram in this regard, of what we can do and what we can't. If we follow those principles strictly, Krishna will protect us. But if we become proud and we think,
hello?
Or sometimes
can I speak
we become so much caught up with compassion
and yes.
Wanting to help.
It's a personal call.
And in that we get all, we become bewildered. Maya is the bewildering energy. We may become bewildered. But if we're sincere, Krishna will immediately come in through some Vaishnava or some realization to tell us, not like this. And then we have to immediately.
Hello?
Become very
strong. Sorry to bother you, no offense.
If after Krishna warns us, we're still so proud, we think we know better.
Can come?
Then we are finished.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no. He can't come at 4:30, right?
That's your question.
So then 4:30.
How can learn
Okay.
Chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
Okay, so 4:30 should be all right. Just a minute. Is that 7 to 10 is not possible? Naji has a meeting 7 to 10, already engaged. So he says 4:30 to 5:30. Association. And it's chanting rounds every day. Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that for my followers, if they do not strictly chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attentively every single day, they will fall victim to Maya at any moment. Need the guidance of the advanced devotees. We simply humble ourselves before that guidance, humble ourselves before the assembled Vaishnavas, chant the holy name strictly, and follow the regulative principles of our ashram strictly. Krishna will protect us. We are not strict. Just inviting Maya, please. Here I am. I'm ready for you. Come get me. Very strange.
Sometimes we follow these principles in society or even the movement. The devotees themselves, they think us a fanatic or a person. We should not care for them.
We should care for everyone. You should not care for what they say. You should not care for what they say. But when the representative of the guru says you're a fanatic, then you should care for it.